What's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93, a post Cinco de Mayo show. So it's bound to be a good one. Joining the show, we have a full house. We have Matt, we have Gabe, we have Shanir. Shanir, I saw your head bobbing to the music while we were playing it. So
yeah, I mean, I can't get enough of that beat.
guys. First of all, how are y'all doing? I hope you guys had a wonderful Cinco de Mayo. And yeah, how was y'all weekend and everything?
It's a good weekend. Yeah, it was fun. Game was fun. 5,400 fans. You know, it was a good time.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm kind of shocked at how many people showed up for a game in Richmond on Cinco de Mayo.
Why is that?
Because I was really thinking, like, okay, 3,000, like, that's going to be fine. I thought people were going to be, like, all over Carrolltown, Chaco Bottom.
Especially when Cinco de Mayo landed on a Friday.
Yeah. Like, I was like, all right, not that many people going to the game.
No, all the more reason, too, because you know exactly when the soccer game is going to end. 7 o'clock kickoff, you know you're out of there at 9. We'll ride up to Carrolltown, live it up then. Makes perfect sense.
The Flying Squirrels had a
game. Yeah, the game is the pregame.
yeah. I mean, most of us could figure that out.
Someone else partied super hard and let Twitter know about it.
Definitely did. Definitely did. Because when I got that tab that I looked at it, I was about to say my name Miguel and I did not buy these drinks.
There's a lot of supporting evidence out there saying that maybe you didn't buy them drinks, but you drank all of them drinks.
I definitely did. I'm pretty sure we've all had that moment where, like, you're having a good time, you're buying drinks, and then you get the tab, and you look at it, you're like,
yeah, it's not fun. Yeah, the difference is, though, all of us are, you know, completely wild in on, you know, Twitter saying just the most ratchet stuff for, like, 5 hours straight.
Look, all I'm going to say is don't pay attention to it. It's all gone. But yes, there was a wonderful, well, I'm not going to say wonderful. Wonderful means there were goal scorers. But there was a good game on Friday. Richmond played against Union Omaha. A couple of storylines in this. You had probably the best two goalkeepers in USL League One historically going up against each other. You had the return of Joey G. No Neil Vinyals. He's still out with, I believe, did he list it as an ankle injury? Or did they describe what it is?
Yeah. I think I just heard ankle injury.
Okay, all right. So that's pretty much all. Those are the storylines leading up to it. Matt, like you alluded to, 54,000 fans there. There was a squirrel game the same day, right? Or the next day? Same time? Okay. Right. Yeah, I think I did repost it. I want to make sure. But yeah, it seemed like for both events, Richmond's doing really well in sports to have that many fans go out to games. So that's really good.
I mean, I know. I mean, just kind of talk about the crowd for a second. I know I got to the stadium like 6:15-ish, and I was in that lot across the street, and that was already 2/3 full by that point. So I knew at that moment it was going to be a good crowd, and they just kept coming in and coming in. Got in there, and I mean, yes, Cinco de Mayo night. People wanted them tacos, and they were excited about that.
I saw something. Was this $2 tacos in the stadium?
$2 tacos and $3 Modelos. So both of those lines were wildly long.
You had probably invested half an hour to work that line.
Yeah, I looked at that taco line and I walked right back over to my seat.
I'm gonna miss the whole game.
It's like, no thanks. We all know how long those food trucks take. We've done it once.
Anytime my wife comes, I know.
Yeah. It's the next step in operations to take up. Like, never going to complain about, you know, there being a ton of people there, but concession lines, need to find a way to speed those up a little bit.
Just the food. The
beer. So let me ask you guys this, and y'all can answer individually if you want. But do you ever find yourself sometimes wishing, like, I missed the days of, like, the 2000 fans because I could get my food and get back to the game very quickly?
Yeah, well, all they need to do is get more trucks in there. Get more variety. You get more variety, you're splitting up those lines between more trucks. And you get when you got more people, you got to get more concession.
Yeah. I think I've done a good job with like drinks and everything, because you can get them at kind of, you know, the main stand, whatever you want to call that, like the permanent. Your spot there,
yeah.
And they've started, you know, put, you know, the other little like gazebos, a few different spots on the concourse, and even on both sides. It's just the food lines, you know, are backed up. So I don't know if that's moving a couple over, you know, to the other side. If it's, you know, still just getting, I mean, it's probably a little bit of both getting more in and relocating a couple. But and those things are always long. Like if I don't get there plenty early, I just don't bother.
Yeah, absolutely.
The drink options are fantastic. I mean, we've got almost 30 different drink options, and it's never a long wait for a beer, I don't think.
Yeah. But to answer your question, yeah, there's moments when I'm waiting in any line where I'm like, I mean, the COVID games weren't too bad.
Right. It was fast.
Get your food and be like, all right, let me get back to this game. Now you have to strategically plan. All right, how much of this game am I willing to miss out on? That's what guys, let's go ahead. Let's talk about the game. So we get the starting lineups. Obviously, we're missing Nail Vinyals. Giles steps in for him. But also, O'Gordon comes back to the lineup after missing out on last week. Union Omaha. This Union Omaha team is very different than teams that we saw before, teams that we've battled against before in the past. Matt, how would you describe Union Omaha teams before? Like, I would describe them as very, like, high-pressuring possession base. Are they kind of, like, the same now? I mean, seeing them in person, are they kind of, like, the same? Or are they more...
They had some similarities to us in the past. Like, they've always been a team that's really taken advantage of their tiny little baseball field and really leveraged that and taken advantage of that in the past. I'm actually being serious with that one. You know, it is a, you know, creates a unique style of play, and then you come to City Stadium, which is a bit more of an expansive field, and I think last year the team was able to, you know, especially the second time we played them here, take real big advantage of that. But yeah, you know, different you know, coaching there now, you know, looks like they're not entirely sure what the full game plan is. Yeah, it looks like they're, you know, kind of going more 4-4-2 right now, because they had Dos Santos and Meza, you know, up front. It's still got, you know, good players in the midfield. You got Skiers, you got, you know, Doyle, you know, solid pieces, you know, in there. And I think they're not too, you can look at the standings and they support that. They're not too dissimilar to us, you know, right now. You're trying to put the pieces together and, you know, figure out this year's identity.
Yeah. All right. So with that, I mean, also you got Rasheed Nuhu to go. Now, Richmond, the first half, let's take a couple of minutes to talk about the first half. We had a couple of chances that happened. Thoughts on the first half? From what I've seen from most of the fans, is like they were pleasantly surprised by it. What are your guys' thoughts on the first half? How Richmond played?
Richmond, I must say that first and second half, just this whole game, I think we were the dominant team. We dominated this game in terms of chances created, and just in terms of how dangerous we looked going forward. I think I don't think I was too worried, and I think Gabe, you had said this before we started recording, that we don't think we were too worried about Union Omaha scoring at any point in this game. And in the first half, they had a couple of chances that went wide or over the top. If that, I don't think Akira had too much to do in this first half. And we created some chances, had made forced one save out of Nuhu, which I can't even say forced because it was a pretty tame shot that was right at him. But apart from that, yes, we missed the target quite a few times, but we looked way more threatening than Union Omaha did throughout this entire game, and especially throughout the first half.
So right now, I mean, this is football, so take this with a grain of salt. Shots on target, we led 4-1. Shots off target, they led 10-5. But big chances created was 1.
Yeah.
So like I said, take that with a grain of salt.
I feel like Shamir's underselling, how well we played in the first half, actually. I thought, it was pretty entertaining half, overall, pretty, open. Ohm had a few chances they were off target on, but it's not like they didn't have a few times where made you wonder a little bit. And I know they had one shot that flew a few feet by the post. I don't think Akira was really worried about it, but in the build up it looks like could have been a potentially good shot. But for the most part, I thought the kickers really had the upper hand throughout most of the half, and especially that first 10 minutes. I mean, we've said it before, Hornsby, was just, doing what he wanted, from that left back position, being able to, dribble in combined with Belmar, that very first, chance of the game. What was it, like second minute, I think?
Yeah.
Those two, are able to combine on the left. And I think, it was Belmar that got, cross and that, Emmy, redirected and, put it about, a foot or two wide. Looked a lot in stadium, it looked like it just missed. It was a bit farther wide when I watched the replay than I initially thought. And then, built up another one, I think like eighth or ninth minute, that Emmy tried to, flick in and went over the bar. So those chances were coming. You had later in the first half, Bentley, you get one-on-one. Gabe and I were, talking about it in the stands. Kind of wish that he was a little more selfish and just, shot the ball instead of trying to lay it back for Emmy. In fairness, what would have been a tap in if it wasn't for a defender right on him, yeah, as well. I thought the first half was comfortably in control for the kickers.
Yeah, that that opportunity that you're talking about with Bentley, I rewatched that play particularly, and I was wondering, like, why didn't he just shoot, basically after his, first touch? His first touch just wasn't as clean, I think, as he would have liked for it to be. The ball, went out ahead of him a little bit farther probably than what he wanted. And it's almost as if, he'd kind of tried to sneak his foot in there to pass it back to Emmy. And I don't think Bentley probably didn't think that he could have gotten a very clean shot off. But just in rewatching it, I think maybe he could have redirected it around Nuhu in that moment. I'm still with you. I still wish he would have at least tried to get a shot off there, because it looked like it was a one-on-one chance, and Emmy was marked heavily. And so, I mean,
we agreed on it in the stands is it wasn't a bad choice that he made to lay it off, and maybe it wasn't the best choice.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. That was good.
Okay. All right. That just been a question I might have for later, but I'll still later. Other thoughts on the first half? Anything else that stood out to y'all? Because, this is a nil-nil game. It kind of felt like the defense was kind of in control of this game.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think the defense is key. And we have that under wraps very early in the season. And literally now it can just be muscle memory working for itself for those guys throughout the season. The thing is, when you look at, for example, that situation with Matt Bentley with the slightly heavy touch, as the season goes on, things like that will clean up. Mm-hmm. Things like that, situations like that will clean up. They will get to the point where I'd say an exact same play happens in early to mid July and Bentley is taking a clean first touch and banging it home.
Oh yeah.
Sure. It's one of those things that I'd rather it be our front line that's easing their way into cleaning up their play than our back line. And our back line has just got it already figured out solid, pretty early on, which is a good sign, a very good sign.
Yeah, and the back line matched up well with Omaha too, because they had Dos Santos, who he's big boy up there, but we got our own big boy on the back line that can bang with them. And you know, now that Dakota's small guy, but he was able to take a little bit more of the Mesa assignment, who's the quicker kind of guy. So felt like their style played well into the strengths of our defense. And I mean, Zaka was just there cleaning everything up and just being the best version of Zaka, the yellow card free version of Zaka.
That's the purest form of Zaka.
Yes.
That's the purest form. No, I was going to ask this question about Bentley and pretty much our attack as a whole, because it's a talking point. You know, people are asking about it and whatnot. And we're particularly not stressing about it. But if you are Darren, Mika, Connor, how more patient can you be with the offense as it is now before you start thinking like, all right, we got to start tweaking something, because like you said, the defense right now is holding this, keeping this team afloat above water. It's the second best defense in terms of letting goals in. Only one team that's better than us is Florida and Madison. And this team isn't far off of the points per game. Like we were at this point last year. I think last year was 1.7. This year is 1.5. When it comes to the attack, the attack isn't where it was at this point last year. Like how much more patience are you putting into it? And I'm not talking about in terms of freaking out. I'm just asking, just overall.
Yeah, I'm not worried because. Like what Shaneer was saying with Bentley's heavy touch on that one play. I don't want to pick on him for too much for that, but I'm not worried because you saw the buildup going the way that Darren and Mika and Connor clearly want it to, that kind of direct ball to Bentley who could either take a choice to shoot or pass to Emmy. As well as the Hornsby buildup with Belmar, who then crossed it into Emmy. It's just little moments that just have to be cleaned up. I'd like to see more of those opportunities come. I'd like to see them have their foot on the gas a little bit more, and kind of kind of build up a little bit more often. But I'm not concerned at this point. I think it's right where it needs to be at this point, and it'll grow. It'll get better.
Okay. Anywhere else?
Yeah, one thing that I did notice in this game is I don't think there's anything that needs to be tweaked with the front. And I think what we're having here is a slight disconnect between the midfield and the front three. And in this game, you saw that there was a slightly different energy in that chemistry. But normally when we have our regulars in there, Zaka and Neil, they got used to last year playing in a particular way with that front line. And with Ethan Bryant in the midfield, sometimes sneaking forward to get involved with the attack as well. They had a system, and now it's the midfield. Defensively, they're great. They're protecting that back line when they need to. In the attack, I think they're used to a certain way of playing that Belmar and I think even Bentley are not quite the same type of players that they're used to. So you're looking at a situation last season. I mean, Bentley is very common. I think the real outlier this season is Belmar, and that changes the way the front three have to play. And because it changes the way the front three have to play, the midfield three are still getting used to where everyone's going to be. I see a lot of hesitation in releasing the ball from the midfield players into that front line when they're trying to break that last line of defense. So I don't think there's much to worry about. This is something they're just going to get used to. They're going to get used to it, and soon it'll become more telepathic the way it was around the middle to end of last season, where Ethan always knew almost where everyone was. Neil always knew where everyone was in the front line and just knew where to send the ball before even having to look up really. So there is that factor as well.
Yeah, I think y'all are crazy. you know, so for one, Shaneer, you go off something you were saying. Neil isn't out there. Midfield. Well, Zach is only midfielder back. For the last couple of games from last year. So I don't see the point. It's not like Suko.
That's why I said today
to look for Bolaños doing something or anything. It's a whole new set of guys. So I don't see how that necessarily carries weight. And Matt Bentley needs to start producing something. Otherwise, he needs to have a seat. Because what has he actually produced yet this year?
Yeah, to be honest with you. I mean, just looking at his numbers right now, zero chances created, zero shots on target. That's out of 21 touches out there in the right wing. Versus what I think every
– what Belmar got?
Belmar scored a goal, so.
Yeah, Belmar had 27 touches.
Got himself an assist.
27 touches and – is this in this game or?
No, yeah. This is this game, but Matt is right. Belmar is the only, Belmar has an assist and a goal so far.
I know we like Bentley and everything. Yeah. I think he's got a lot of potential, but it might be a situation where he needs to, get sat down for a couple games to, get his head straight or whatever, because he'll get into the right spot sometimes, but the final ball has not been there at all this year. And we know that you got 32 right there in the middle, and you give him good service, he's going to. And Bentley's crosses either are behind him or they're getting cut out by the first defender every single time. Some of that's good defending, don't get me wrong, but sometimes maybe it's take the shot yourself as well. Like the only game I think he's actually looked good in this year has been against an amateur team.
Yeah. I think that's the only game he registered an assist.
Probably. So, I don't think we have kid gloves with you guys. I think what, do you put, Gordon in there, try to run Belmar and Gordon together? I think we've been rightfully hard on Luke earlier this year. And the last couple of games, he's picked it up a little bit. I'm not saying that because of us.
It could be because of us,
right? But
Luke just has Matt postered on his wall of like, I need to do better. Don't disappoint Matt.
Well, hold on, it's not it's all on me. You've been talking to some stuff about him too. He's come off the bench, played well the last few games ever since the DC game. Put in a shift. Maybe you try to mix it up. Put him out there. See if Bentley comes off the bench and gives you something.
Yeah, I mean, no, that is fair. Because I mean, really, the complexity of this team has changed. Like before last year, it was everything was going down the left. Everything was played down the left, and the right side was kind of like more of your builder side. Well, this year it's kind of flipped because you have the Belmar Hornsby side, and Belmar isn't like a winger that puts his boots on the touchline. Like he's not burning anybody. He plays a little bit more inside. Hornsby likes to build up a little bit more. So now the right side has to be the side that gets in and behind. And I'm like, God, I'm okay sitting Bentley for a game. Like, because right now he hasn't produced. He hasn't. And being all actuality, he hasn't. And I don't know if there's anyone else on that right side that can go into that place and be a starter, that can legitimately challenge Bentley for that starter spot outside of EVD, but EVD not coming back to maybe the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gordon, could do it, in a pinch. Like we've seen him play out on the right before. Yeah. Maybe not for
I think he's more comfortable on the left.
Right. Yeah, I'm not saying it's the ideal fit, but
Gordon.
I think one of the biggest things with Bentley is the elephant in the room here is that I think he's originally and naturally a number nine, not a winger.
Oh yeah,
he's and a target striker.
That's basically what he is. He is a target nine, and you're taking a target nine and asking him to run in behind on the wing.
Yeah, which is
I think you would get a better result, and this is why I agree with you, Elliot, talking about putting Gordon out there.
Oh, no, that was Matt.
I agree with Matt. Matt. with putting Gordon out there, because I would much rather put a winger on the wrong side than a striker on the wing. I mean, it just...
Yeah.
I feel that Bentley is kind of being hard done by being put in a position that is so not him. If he was a run-in behind striker, a number nine that ran in behind your speedster that ran in behind, okay, you can transfer into being a winger, but when you're a target, pace is not exactly your number one priority. Your number one priority is hold up play, laying off the ball to the speedster wingers or the attacking mid who comes and overlaps in the middle.
I'd be really curious. So, this is just like totally hypothetical, but like a 4-4-2 with Emmy and Bentley up top.
Speak the praises, game.
Who are the four midfielders you actually want to play at the same time?
That's why I said hypothetical, you know, because I couldn't imagine, like, I'd have a really hard time seeing Zaka, Sukal, and Neil, and then, like, Chandler. But I guess you'd have to put, like, you'd almost have to create, like, this interesting hybrid of, like, putting Belmar in the midfield. That wouldn't work. Like, it would
would be weird and funky.
It would be really odd. The team is certainly not built that way for a 4-4-2 by any means. But
yeah, no, not at all.
But it would serve Bentley, though.
It would.
You're not going back to the days of Lee Ball, 4-4-2, punt it forward.
Kalashaw ball.
No.
I think that's being a little harsh on, you know, the guy who won us, you know, four trophies, but.
I mean, I'm talking more about like the last year, like 2018.
Well, soccer was just played differently back then too. It was like push the ball.
Exactly.
I don't think that's how they were really playing back then, but not the point of this podcast.
So I mean, we know we got that to talk about. That's probably a whole different issue. Let's look a little bit more in the midfield. Obviously, no deal. This is his third straight game that he's been out so far. Sukal, Zhao. We're not going to talk about Zaka because we know Zaka does a wonderful job right now. Mainly talking about those two. How do we think those two did in the midfield? Because me personally, I think this is probably Zhao's best performance so far.
I would say so. I think he definitely showed out in this game. He made you feel that I think I felt a little more comfortable with him being Neil second and that there isn't as much of a drop off as I feared. He definitely did some great distribution and some great playmaking in that midfield, finding some of those dangerous balls moving forward. And I don't know if I may be wrong, but it seems like the midfield three were working in a slightly different way that created a lot more space for Zhao. I think there was a lot more space that he had to work with. Whenever the ball came to him in that midfield, he had space to drive forward a little bit and then find the path, and which allowed him to look up and actually plan his means of attack. More than it's been with Neil, because I don't know if it has to do with the reputation, but it felt like almost every time Neil got the ball, someone was trying to jump down his throat. So I think
Player of the Week after not being voted as one of the top midfielders in USL League One.
Yeah,
what happens? I'll say this, and I'll let you guys talk about it. But right now, I think when Zhao comes in, I think Justin takes more of the control of the offense. Like, he's a little bit more, you know, more in the front foot, where if it's Neil takes more control. But right now, if you want to do a player comparison, at the beginning of the year, I would have told you Zhao would have been the number two to Neil. Like, all right, you know. right now, based on seeing how Justin plays, I say he's more like him and Justin are probably the same comparable player. Like, I don't. So far, what I can see, I don't see Justin as being a like creator. Like, I don't see him sitting there looking to build the attack.
I look. Yeah, Justin is an eight.
I'm talking about Jao. Seeing Jao is more of like a eight. Like, I don't see him being like a number 10. But Matt, what do you think, man?
I think Suka right now, I think he's more comfortable, you know, in the game. You know, using mm-hmm. you know, he's got more physicality as well, which makes a difference in this league. You know, sometimes just being able to, what's the word I'm trying to, absorb a tackle or two, at times, be able to, lay it out on somebody every now and then, but also, it looks like he's just a little more confident with, taking the ball on the dribble and, moving it himself that way. I think, Zhao's, doing, perfectly good. He moves the ball around well, but I do think, Suka's maybe.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Step ahead of them. And I wouldn't even look at it as we're playing somebody in place of Neil right now. I think it has shifted a little bit. I would say, they're more kind of like hybrid, attacking midfielder, in box to box midfielders at the moment, rather than, one being attacking midfielder and one being box to box. You're kind of both doing the same role, kind of in parallel. At least it looks like to me.
Yeah, that's what it's exactly like to be. Like, literally both of their job is don't worry about so much about building the attack, but just be like the box and box and help bring the ball up the field. That's what it really looks like right now. And Zaka's back there just being Zaka, not having to worry about creating, but destroying people and not getting yellow cards. Just good. I think Zaka only has one yellow for the year.
I have no idea. I can't remember. I mean, I know he got that first one like 5 minutes into the season.
Yeah. So, I don't think he's got it one since then. So, that's good. Good for Zaka. I'm saying all this, and probably against Greenville, he's getting another yellow card. I can see it. Come on. I can see him blowing up Coutinho right now, like in the 30th minute.
What yard line, though?
We'll be able to know.
Yeah, we will be. Probably on the 40 right there. Like a real kickoff return, just blow them up. Let's see what happens.
Take 15.
Yeah, probably. Let's talk about the back line. Back line of the team right now is probably the strongest part. Well, is the strongest part of the team right now. Simon Fitch, Nathan Ani, Dakota Barnathan, and Michael Hornsby, all dogs. Like, they frustrated Union Omaha. Only limited them to the one shot on target, constantly causing problems for Noah Meza and the rest of Union Omaha's attack. Why is this backline so special right now, guys? Because they have been showing out week in and week out. The only game they have let in more than one goal was against Charlotte, and both of those goals were like blunders. Like this,
that first goal is a nice goal. I'll give them that.
Yeah. Outside of that, they haven't let in. Well, true. Outside of that, they haven't let in multiple attempts.
Well, I think with this question, I mean, we're actually inadvertently going to have to go back to talking about Zaka, because I think Zaka's fine tuning of his role as a six has really made that backline's job easier. At the end of the day, when you look at a six, their job, protect the back line. When we are not in possession, protect the back line. A team cannot function well without a decent six. You've seen it all throughout history of the game. Leicester win the league, they sell N'Golo Kante, then they're bang average. You know, it's you with Zaka, with the way he plays, Ani and Dakota are able to hold their position. When you don't have a good six, a lot of times a center back or two gets dragged out of position, and that's the space that the other team will capitalize on in order to get in goal-scoring position. But every time, almost every single time Union Omaha drive forward, they're faced with this wall, this four-man wall across the field that never have to step out of position because Zaka is doing a great job. And even Justin stepping back in and putting a lot of pressure on the attacking midfielders, on the midfielders of the other team as they're driving forward. When you force those players to have to look down at the ball and not be able to look up and scan, it really makes the job of those guys a lot easier. I think our midfield has done a good job of protecting that back line.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to Ani at the pregame press conference on, what was it, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. And I asked him a question of, like, you know, you've been in Richmond for a while now, and easier you develop. Like, you're getting better and better and better and better. What about this year has set out to you since your time been here? He pretty much just pointed and saying, like, pretty much he said it, like, I feel comfortable. Like, I feel like it's my spot now, you know. Like, not saying, like, he was questioning what he was doing before, but, like, it's kind of like when you're at a job for a long period of time, you kind of already know what to do without having to look at the manual anymore. Like, you just know off of instinct. And then he said on top of that, like, because I asked him, you know, Willie Pollin's been in goal a couple of games, having to carry back the last two. What was it that made you feel as if, like, you know, what's the difference between the two, mainly? He was like, both of them are great communicators, but Akira is, like, is a different level of communication. Like, having a carry back there, he's reading the game. Like, he says Willie is reading the game maybe 1 to 2 steps ahead, where a carry is reading it like 5 to 6. Like, and it just puts you in a different level of calmness back there, because, like, I'm pretty sure, like, if we were able to have, like, the COVID level of, like, hearing the players talking to the field, I'm pretty sure we would have heard a carry, like, already pointed out, all right, this guy's going to shoot. And then next thing we know, this guy's shooting. Like, it would have been that level of communication. Like, Ollie was talking about that level of calm back there. So that seeing how this back line is functioning right now, how they're able just to snuff out chances and not give up big shots on goal is huge. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just – it's stout, you know? Like – I mentioned before the show, like, at no point was I concerned about Omaha scoring a goal on Friday. You know, there was, I think, a couple of times that the ball went across the face of the goal. And from section O, it looked kind of dangerous. But, you know, at no point was I actually concerned. And then any shots they took were, I believe, outside of the 18 and sailed wide or sailed high. Backline just didn't give them anything to work with. So they've looked incredible all year, and Nathan was fighting for that starting spot last year, but Jalen and Dakota just kind of had it on lockdown. So, like, knowing that Nathan really could have been a starter last year as well, you know, like, he had that spot until I think he got hurt and Dakota stepped in, and so he's looked, they just look really good.
Yeah, no, he looked really solid, and also, like, my bad, about Nathan, like, I don't know, like, it seems like a different level of calm to him this year. Like, I mean, I already said it, but, like, last year, like, I think about, like, the Fuego game where he lost his head, you know, got the red card and him, like, just dribbling out of the field and, like, stuff like that. But, like, this year, it seems like a complete, you can see, like, this is on the entering to his prime. Like, he's just, like, a different level of center back. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think for him too, I think there's always a little bit of, you know, you kind of, words are failing me tonight.
don't worry, that's happened to me before.
Trying to think of the right term. It's not confirmation bias. It's just like implicit bias. When you look at him, you see big, you know, bulky, you know, 6'5" guy. You know, I think most people, right or wrong, automatically think, okay, he's, you know, just, you know, in the back there to throw his body around. you know, head stuff away. And he's much better than you would think on the ball, you know, being able to dribble out. But I think it takes a while to kind of break down that idea that, far and away, the biggest guy in the field most games has foot skill.
Yeah. And, I mean, it also doesn't hurt having a partner beside you like Dakota Barnathan who can – I'm pretty sure, Dakota can probably track anyone in USL League One with ease. Like, I haven't seen too many guys give him any problems so far.
Yeah, I think that's another thing with another thing that has kind of changed Nathan's demeanor this season. Him and Dakota just work so well together as a center back pairing. They're a perfect match in a back four. So that really it's funny because last season, at the beginning of the season, we had Nathan and Chrysler, and it looked like they had figured some things out. Their chemistry was good. Ani gets injured. Dakota steps in, and that chemistry, it's like it didn't skip a beat. Dakota working well with Jalen. But I don't know what it is about this season so far, at least from what I've seen so far. Nathan and Dakota aren't on another level of connection and chemistry as a back two. And that, I think, gives Nathan a lot of reassurance that I got it. You know, Akira's back there. Zaka's handling things in front of me. And I got my boy right next to me. I'm good. So, yeah.
It goes back to what Gabe was saying earlier about, I didn't feel threatened. And I mean, right now, that back four in Akira, if you see it with a team sheet, you kind of think to yourself, all right, at most this game, the team might score one. But they're not scoring multiple, and it's not going to be anything where we're stressing.
Yeah. Remember back in preseason when everyone else around the league was, going hardcore concern trolling over, the Richmond defense, what are they going to have? Because they lost Chris Lund, and they lost Payne, and they lost, Richie. Yeah.
Here we are.
So good. Solid. Simo Fitch is doing a great job over there, right back.
Michael Horn. No, we're not doing that.
I'm calling him Simo. Dress him up in all black.
You didn't even have to. You just wanted to say his name like that.
I did. But also because Nate calls him Simo, and he's just stuck in my head. So in my head now, he's Simo. Michael Hornsby is very glad he got out of Fuego, based on how bad that team is, because they desperately need him back. But we got him, and you see how great he is going right now. And I'm pretty sure I would not be surprised if outside of Neil. If Hornsby doesn't lead this team in assist, the way how he bombs up that left side and can cut that ball back, it wouldn't surprise me if he started to lead this team in assist. Also, I did this. We got the points per game. So I kind of talked about it earlier, but I'll go through the whole list. So NCFC right now is at 2.2 points per game. Independence is at 1.6, Tormenta is at 1.5, along with Union, Omaha, and Richmond. All of those teams are 1.5. Fort Madison is on 1.4. Tormenta and One Knox at 1.3. Nelco's at 1.25. Red Wolves at 1.16. Lexington is at 0.67. And Fuego is at 0.58. So, for all those that was asking, is there any reason to have any concern right now? No. We're tied for third on points per game. Yes, is the offense been stalling behind? Yes. But it will click. It will come together. It will all be back. Neil's coming back shortly. Offense will come together back in. We know right now. Would you guys agree with me to say there may be a little question mark out there in the right mid, right winger spot right now where Bentley is?
Yeah.
Sure.
Outside of that, everything else is fine, right? In the starting lineup.
I think if we're gonna ever get another signing, I think that should be the priority. A right winger because, like we said, I think Matt is being hard done by. I would, and I know that.
You think any chance Jordan and Matt Baldock can become best friends again?
I don't think he's the missing link out there anyway.
I don't either. I don't either. And again, when you look at Matt, I never understood why he was out there in the first place. The guy's he's an 8 or a 10 in my book in terms of just the way he plays. That to me is more so where he seemed comfortable whenever he played. So it's very hard because at the end of the day, that is a very strange position, right wing, especially in the way the game is played today. A lot of times when you look at your best players, they most of the times come from the left.
I just want you to know when you said that Matt face looked at you, was like, wait, what?
I mean, if you because when you look at a lot of players, even right-footed players tend to have more freedom on that left side than they do if they're put on the right. You look at Vinicius, left on the left side, right-footed player. Neymar, Mbappe, Rashford, the list goes on of players that float more towards the left, but have a very strong attacking threat. Apart from Mo Salah, you don't really hear about too many right-sided because that position, the way the game is played today, is a little more awkward and still needs to be figured out. And I think that's why Matt Bentley is in a really tough spot right now, because not only is that position in terms of its totality needs to be figured out in this new total soccer era, he's a number 9 by nature.
I mean, I can get on board with the second half of what you're saying.
But. So, guys, Richmond's schedule is kind of look like this coming up. We talked about how great this defense is. They are going to get tested in the next couple of games because you got Greenville coming up, who's found a bit of form. I think in the last 3 out of 4 games has kind of gone a goal burst. Last 3 out of 4 games has scored 2 or more goals in those games. Granted, they're against Fuego and Lexington. But we also play against the North Carolina team, who I said right now is a 2.2 points game. Haven't lost a game since the home opener. And then we come back on Saturday on May 20th against a Lexington team that's near the bottom of the table. And then, next Saturday we go against Tormenta again. So as it stands right now, y'all, we're going to need the offense to kind of step up, but I'm pretty sure the defense will do their part in making sure that we feel compact in those games. Real quick, let's talk about the Greenville game. 1-0 win last time at their stadium with all the football lines. What are we expecting in this game, given this is not – I mean, it's not the same Greenville team we went against the first half, but what are we expecting in this game? Greenville's a little bit more confident, I will say that.
I think more of the same. It's not like they're playing any different than they normally do. It's not like we're playing any different than we normally do. Mm-hmm. You've seen the Greenville-Richmond games over the years. They're always chess battles. Wouldn't be surprised if, you could set the over-under at 1.5, and I wouldn't, be surprised if you get even money on both sides.
I would set the over-under at 1, gladly.
So... I think it's going to be, a defensive battle. It's away again. Have to go back on that turf again. So I think, again, probably most of the stuff's going to come from, the width, out there. That's a field that's probably going to, seem like it's going to play a little bit faster than maybe City Stadium plays. Not necessarily, scared of them. Yeah, they've put up a couple of, numbers, but even that Lexington game, the last one was a little bit of a, fluky goal right at the end of stoppage time.
Yeah. So. And I think they were up in that game too and kind of still talk all that. I'm assuming that we're all expecting Neil to be back in this game. See when you talk to Darren, did it seem like Neil will be back for this game, Matt?
I mean, he said he would. He probably could have played this weekend, but I'll believe he's back when I see him on the field.
That's the best thing about it.
I feel like anything, you know, Darren or Mika or, you know, anyone will say, you know, outwardly, I'm assuming it's a lie until it's proven to be the truth.
Yeah, they hold their cards really close to the chest with regards to the players, and I'm not sure I understand why, because at the end of the day,
we're talking about a guy that wears all black in the middle of July. Like, there's a level of secrecy to him already that we already should question, but we don't.
I think some of the stuff regarding injuries is like they don't want to like share too much information about how a player is dealing with injuries because of the way like teams from higher levels might be looking at them. So like they don't make that information very public until like it has to be public for like a physical, you know. So it's just like I think it's like one of those like they're trying to protect the player in case that player gets to move on. It's an odd thing, but
yeah.
Real quick, I want to ask you guys this before we wrap up the show and go to our points. Do you think we're gonna have? Do you think there's gonna be more saves in this game from both teams, or more shots on target? I'm leaning to more saves.
Well, there can't be more shots on target than saves. So
the answer is yes.
Shots on target.
Ah, there we go. Good job. Figure it out. All right. Matt, I'll swing it over to you, buddy.
Okay. Still a little perplexed on that last question there. All right. So, yeah, got our top threes for the game this week. Anyone ready to lead us off here?
I'll go first.
All right, what we got?
A lot
of good options this week.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Give me Ani 3. Give me Sukau 2. Give me Simon 1. Just because his name is Simon.
I don't think we have anybody on the team called that, but all right. I think you know what you're trying to say. Was good old Elliot pronunciation.
I know his name was Simon, but I'm slowly making – look, I'm trying to get this transfer over to Spain for him.
Do you know that?
Yes, I do. But we got to slow – look, we got to start generating money at this team. So we're going to slowly start making him Spanish, you know, get him some Spanish lashes.
I was hearing that it's more French, but
– yeah, whatever. Look, the point that he goes across the seas.
French is another option.
I mean, French too, but I think we can probably pass some more in Spanish. Now we're getting into passport. We need to figure out – we need to ask – I'm going to ask him next time I go to press conference. Like, see, what do you prefer, Spanish or French? And that either way he chooses, we'll just go with the opposite. And then we'll just create a whole story for him to sell him for like 100K.
Or he can be a proper kicker for life and we're all happy.
I mean, he could, but
– anyway.
Are you ready to bring these new food trucks in the stadium?
I think I'm going to give my 3 points to Ani. Had some really good chances at the end there and was just – like we've talked about already, a solid, calm wall in the back. My 2 points are going to go to Zaka. Literally protected that back line, made their life easy. Was definitely played a very physical game and didn't get a yellow card. My 1 point, I think I'm going to have to give that one to... I'm going to give that one to Zhao. Like I said, I don't know if it was the way the midfield was moving a little differently in this game, whether they were moving a little differently in this game, but he seemed to be able to find those big open areas of space and capitalize on them. So, yeah, I'm giving my 1 point to Zhao.
All right. Gabe, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm going to go 3 points to Nathan. I'm going to go 2 points to Dakota and 1 point for Zaka.
Awesome. And a good clean sweep for Ani, you know, man of the match, getting all three. I also had Zaka at two, and I gave Hornsby my one, you know, for this week because, again, it felt like everything was coming from him. Before we wrap up, Elliot, how did we skip past, you know, everything that happened from, you know, minute 86 on?
Oh, that we did.
Yeah.
Including your boy almost scoring a goal without you there.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. Oh man.
Thinking about it too. Oh my god. Yo, it's going to happen that Luke is going to score and I'm not going to be in the stadium.
You know one way to fix that?
I know, be there. But then he's not going to score.
That's not proven.
No. What's going to happen is he's going to score away.
At the stadium.
He's going to score away. That's what's going to happen.
That's going to irritate me. That's going to so irritate me.
I want to, for the 86th minute on, though, Matt, just to drive home that point, like, earlier I talked about how, like, I wish the kickers would have kept their feet on the gas in the same way that they did in, like, the first 10 minutes of the game. It seemed like they were a little bit sleepy in the first part of the second half. And then at the end of the second half, they're like, oh crap, we'd like to win this game. And so, I mean, it was like four corner kicks from the 86th minute on, with very dangerous chances generated on, I think, all of them. And so, man, like when they have their feet on the gas and when they're like pressing forward and like playing direct, they're really dangerous.
Yeah, there's four corner. Yeah, there. I don't remember what the exact number was, but there's, you know, three very good chances, you know, created off those, yeah, you know, corners. You know, the first one was I think it was Ani that ended up getting his head on it in a crowd because he's a giant, you know, 6'5" fellow. Yeah, was able to head it, you know, down towards goal. Decent save by New, who probably one that you'd expect him to make though. You know, in that position, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Knew who's very good. Knew who's very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said earlier, like these are the best two goalkeepers in USL League One.
Yeah. Then, so there's that. When that happens, you kind of think, all right, crap, that might have been the chance. Then, you know, fast forward a couple minutes. I think there's a corner that they cleared out for another corner. And then, you know, right after that, another corner. You know, and Hornsby's feeding all of these in from, you know, that side. So they're all in swingers, you know, coming through, and, you know, Luke, you know, gets up, you know, heads it, you know, not right at Nuhu, but like right above his head. So he's able to, you know, get up, make a good save. I think, to be fair, I think it's probably a save that if he didn't make, Omaha fans probably would have been upset that he didn't make it.
Yeah.
But it was a good reflex, you know, save, and
took it off the bar.
You know, yeah, to be followed up immediately by, you know, the ensuing corner, you know, Ani, you know, getting up and, you know, putting the header off the top of the bar.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, if he had been like 6'7" instead of 6'5", I think he might have been able to, you know, get over top.
Knotted the ball down a little bit. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, need to work on that. Need to work on his height a little bit more. Yeah. You know.
Just do a couple of stretches. Just stretch your body out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's too much to ask.
just do that.
Yeah, also, I think
you're good there. You good?
I was gonna say that those last 5 to 6 minutes of the game, I could forgive someone for having an immediate reaction after the game of that was 2 points lost. That's how aggressively the kickers were attacking towards the end there and really knocking on the door. But when you look back at it and you look at the game in its entirety, you see that it's just a solid defensive job and an attack that's still fine tuning their tools.
Yeah. And watch, by the end of the year, we won't even be talking about this anymore. And that attack
will
be fine, so it'll be all funny. Can I just also say, it is hilarious that we are talking about Zaka is like that kid who constantly goes to in-school suspension, and he gets a report card of like, yeah, he's good, but you need to watch his attitude. Like, that's how we're talking about soccer. Like, he gets a participation trophy because he didn't get a yellow card this week, and we're so proud of him.
It sounds like you have a specific, like, student in mind, Elliot.
I will. You know what? I'm going to start calling that kid Zaka, and he's not going to understand why, but I'll be like, you're Zaka.
Do you think he'll respond better if you call him Moran?
Probably not. That's what I'm going to call him. Zaka, he's probably going to come across as moron, and I don't want
that. Phone calls like, from parents.
Right. Yeah, you're gonna get it. You're definitely gonna get a phone call from mom or dad.
What are you talking about, Moran? No, it's Moran. He's a great player. Playing for the Richmond Kickers. Like, yeah, that would go down hilariously. But guys, I think that's the end of the show. I think we did a good job. We talked about everything, usually as we do with therapist chair with nil-nil draws. So. Next two games on the road, so Kicker fans, we'll talk about it next week, but make sure that you are ready to watch the Kickers take on Greenville Triumph, because I'm pretty sure Greenville Triumph fans are going to be on Twitter trying to talk about this game like it's a rivalry where neither side really doesn't care about it. But yeah, it's going to be fun. Let's see how, you know, all as always, up the roost. Any last thing from you guys before we wrap up?
No, good to go.
All right. As always, listeners, we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day for listening to our show, because without you, we couldn't do this. So if you want to keep up with the show, make sure as always to go to RiverCity93.com, check out the show, like the content, share the content. And with that being said, we will holler at you guys next week. As always, be safe and be easy, y'all. Bye.